Good day, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Rice and the Ashes. I have a special guest with me today who his story is really inspiring. Her name is Rachel. I'm going to let her introduce herself. Please engage, take notes, and get locked in. This is going to be good. Rachel, please hello to the world.
Hello, world. Oh, so good to be here. Thank you, Baz. My name is Rachel. I live in Oregon, and gosh, there's so much I could say, but I'm going to start with that I began a personal development journey at a very young age. I was very encouraged by my parents. And I remember listening to my dad would take me to school in the mornings, and we would be listening to Wayne Dyer or Eckhart Tolle or Stephen Covey in the car. And so I just grew up hearing that, and that really got into me subliminally. So I started going after personal development at a young age. And that's been a common thread in my life. The road took me to being a massage therapist actually for 25 years and really getting to serve and heal people through touch, but also to help them take away their stress and help them relax. And that was so rewarding for me. And that actually led me on a whole different path. Life took me in a different direction. And I really realized that I'm good at marketing. I'm creative. I love coming up with ideas. I take inspired action, a lot of fire in me. And so that actually translated into going on to getting my degree in business and working in the digital tech startup space for the past 9 years, which I thought was a path I wanted to be on. It started with wellness, where I was actually supporting wellness organizations in their wellness programs, and then working for a very large venture-backed app in wellness. But I got really burnt out with that and realized I was doing way too much, and it was taking me away from that core value of personal development, personal growth, and really wanting to heal people and serve people and help. And in the last year, I actually started my own consulting business where I got very clear that I work with entrepreneurs, coaches, startups, small businesses that are very purpose-driven and mission-aligned, and just really help them grow their business. I could go on and on about that. And aside from the business aspects, I love to travel the world. I lived in Bali for a while, lots of world travel. I have twins. They're 9. I am a single mama. I've been a single mama since they were born. And that's been an incredible journey of love, of surrender, of giving, of challenges. But it's ultimately fueled me to just continue to rise higher and rise from the ashes, which there have been some for sure. Mm-hmm. I love to hike. I love to get out in nature. And really, I just love connecting with people on a one-on-one personal level and getting to know people. So that's a long-winded answer.
No, not at all. And I love the fact that you were very detailed with it. You said that you had some challenges and growth in the last 9 years since your twins were born. What have them challenges been like? Because people love to hear like adversity and overcoming that. People focus a lot on the challenge or the situation, but some of people don't see the other side of the hill until they're actually the other side of it. And they think, oh, it wasn't that bad. So what are some of the challenges you've had to overcome, not necessarily in business, but also in your personal life to achieve the status you have today?
Yeah, that's a great question. I could go back probably to around the time that I knew I was having twins. And I knew that it was going to be a journey I was most likely going to take alone. But I felt like I had been given that rather than as a challenge, as a gift, to help me rise higher. So that was the first thing, is two babies crying, two babies up in the night, two babies to feed and all of that. And of course, I had a family and friends and love and support around me, but that was very challenging. And I survived. I didn't get much sleep probably for 5 or 6 years, but I survived. But what that pushed me to do, because I knew I just wanted to be there and take care of those babies and make sure they had a good life and were well taken care of, is that pushed me to go back to school. and kind of shift gears from being a massage therapist into something that I could find a different zone of genius where I could maybe work from home, which I did. I was able to find that and create that long before people were working remotely as much. It just really motivated me to want to take care of them. But in that process, it pushed me to really dive even deeper into manifesting, something that I've done. Very intentionally, probably for the last 13 or 14 years, very intentionally, but I realized that it was something that I had been doing since I was a child, naturally by visualizing, by believing, by embodying. And I really just put that into full force when I had the babies and said, I'm going to go after this. I'm going to achieve this. I kept seeing the vision forward. I kept seeing the vision forward, asking for what I wanted. And it just got better and better. However, of course, there were other challenges along the way. I've had challenges in figuring out the relationship with their father and how that's going to work, and financial challenges that I had to figure out and overcome. Where I live here in Oregon, we had some wildfires come through in 2020 and 2,500 homes were lost, mine included. And part of the moment of tragedy was that I had actually just moved into this beautiful home. And what that symbolized for me was really getting to the next level. It was like, okay, I finished school. I'm finishing up grad school, getting my MBA. I've done this as a single mom with twins. And here I got us this beautiful home. And 3 months later, we lost the home. We lost everything we owned, everything. And it was actually such a blessing. You say sometimes you get to the other side and you look back. And that really pushed me to the next level because one, I realized that I could let go if things were just things. And it really changed the course of my life and my desires in some ways. And not that I was on a course of only wanting to attain material things or wealth, but it really shifted my perspective. And it was humbling because it was right during the pandemic when people were living in fear and they weren't leaving their homes and they weren't relating. And people came out of the woodwork to make sure we had some clothes, some food, place to stay, stuffed animal for my child because we literally lost everything. And going through sifting through donation sites to just find basic necessities was very humbling. Mm-hmm. And as somebody who's always been fiercely independent, asking for and receiving like gifts and help, it was so hard, but so important on this journey and something that I've continued to learn how to receive. We have to learn how to receive, especially when we love to give and we love to help others. It can often be such a challenge for us to receive. There's been many challenges along the way, but every challenge has leveled me up. If we were playing this game of life, leveled me up in my personal development, in my spiritual development, in my financial, in my clarity of purpose. And so I'm sure there's more challenges, but those are the big ones that kind of stood out. And then there was some aftermath from losing everything in the fire and going right back into, I went right back into work mode, which was my trauma response, was just to keep going and keep achieving. And it took me at least a year or more to look back and say, oh, that was a trauma response, not giving myself the time, the self-care, and then continuing to achieve in these startup environments. And so I'm now at a place of unlearning some of the way I learned to be as part of that trauma response, where being hyper-vigilant, checking my email all the time or my Slack notifications or feeling like I had to jump right into tasks and do and not give myself the time and space for personal care or to really follow my natural rhythm or even give myself that ability to just laser focus on the things that were really important. So there's been a lot of lessons along the way, and I can with certainty look back at every single thing and say, this happened for a reason, and this has brought me to the next level, and it's been a gift. It's been a gift, each thing.
I love what you said there about it's been a gift, and you're changing the growth aspect into an opportunity. A lot of individuals who have gone through some of these challenges and overcome them and change them into an opportunity have discovered rituals or things they do in the mornings or in the evenings that become part of their routine. Now, some of the things that you've been through, is there anything you'd like to share with the audience that has become a part of your habitual routines, but really set your day up for a level of success? And it, you know, it's a must. It's not non-negotiable. It's like meditating in the morning, going for exercise or whatever it may be. What can you share, what happened, or what you've discovered through that aspect of your journey?
Yeah. It hasn't been a straight path for sure. It's been figuring out a lot as I go. I've always had a love for nature, and I've always known that if I feel off center, ungrounded, things are foggy, or I'm overwhelmed, doing too much, getting in nature is going to be the thing that immediately brings me back to my center. It's my nature is my temple. So getting outside, getting in the trees, going for a hike, even if it's just a walk, breathing fresh air, nature, breath, remembering to breathe, right? There's so many times of the day over the past few years, especially, but whereas I would catch myself not breathing. How often do we stop and check in? Am I fully breathing? Am I taking deep breaths, or am I just shallow breathing? So being aware of my breath is very important. I've gotten into more of a consistent meditation and journaling habit. And it's something I've tried different methods, from 10-day silent Vipassana retreats to using apps like Headspace or Calm or Insight Timer, to now I have a whole new system that I use after I've truly fallen in love with ChatGPT. I've truly fallen in love with AI, and I see all the positive, and I'm certainly aware of all of the ethical implications. But for me, I see it as an incredible tool, not only for business growth, for helping others, but for personal growth. So I've started to really utilize that and have a process of journaling. And I use some other AI tools to produce personal guided meditations that I do each morning and each night. And then I use AI to produce a visual, an image to go with that. So it's, how do I want to set up my day, create that visualization, listen to a meditation, create an image, and then do the same thing in the evening. And it's been so transformative, this process and the reflection of that. Aside from that, I'm really making more of a conscious effort to take care of myself physically. Yesterday I did a yoga class, and yoga is something I love. Getting on my spin bike is something I love, which is finding that thing that we can take a break, unplug. And so those are really important. And then just being able to unplug and being able to shut off the computer and not look at the notifications on my phone and be really present, not only with myself, but with my family, with my kids, and just give them that time where I'm not distracted by anything else.
Mm-hmm. I love that. It's interesting you say not look at the notifications on your phone. The easiest way to do that, simply turn them off. It's so freeing. You start actually focusing on what matters to yourself as an individual. And I think we model people and aspire to be like others or walk in their footsteps. Who are the five people that you've not necessarily model, want to grow and be, but have really set you up in the role that you're showing up in your business and in also in life today?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good question. I'm going to say first and foremost, my parents, both of them in different ways. My father was always that icon for personal development, and he was always this compassionate, loving, this very compassionate, loving, nurturing person who always saw the best in me and in others, and I think really instilled that in me. And at times I felt like that was not a good thing, to always be able to see the good in others, because sometimes I think that affected my ability to have boundaries, which I'm learning more about. But I think having that instilled in me my whole life, to just be loving and be compassionate and see the good in others and want to help others, it has defined my purpose in the world. And my mother, being very different in some ways, was much more the tough love. But what that actually gave me was an ability to nurture others in a way that I didn't receive. And also be able to see the difference, and also give love and forgiveness and compassion, because a lot of times we're just a product of how we're raised and what we're taught growing up. My parents always were so proud of me and loved me and supported me and believed in me. And I think that really, that level of self-esteem and confidence I've had throughout my life has taken me really far. Mm-hmm. Other icons, other figures. I love poetry. I always loved poetry growing up. Pablo Neruda, Maya Angelou, just really like listening to words. I always loved words and poetry. So I think I was very much influenced by that growing up. I was an avid reader. Now it's much more the audiobooks. I would say now probably I love Brené Brown. I love the idea of bringing vulnerability, how crucial and important vulnerability is. And when we start to be more vulnerable and be more authentic, that gives us freedom. It gives us connection. It gives us clarity and peace in our life. Who else? Gosh. I don't know. I'd say those are some of the top ones right now. I love some of the ideas from people who teach manifestation, like Gabby Bernstein and others, but I started doing it long ago and developed my own way. And so I love some of the models that are out there, and I really have my own rituals and ways that I do that. So things related to law of attraction, Abraham, Esther Hicks, that whole kind of beliefs, The Secret, I read that book, the original. Yeah. And then art is an inspiration to me. It's one of the things that was always a passion wherever I travel in the world, to go to the art museum, to spend a lot of time in the Louvre in Paris, to really soak in the art. And I think that when it does something for our brain, when we look at beautiful art or when we look at a beautiful landscape or view or sunrise or sunset, it actually can help our neuroelasticity. It releases dopamine and serotonin and melatonin and oxytocin and all of these things. And I think we spend so much time in our little box computers or our phones. So again, taking in beauty, taking in things that are like exciting to our brains and our nerves and our nervous system, that get us like, keep us motivated and inspired.
I love that. You mentioned something earlier when you were speaking about your father, purpose, and he helps you find your purpose. Have you truly defined what that is, and how does it show up for you in your life? And I want to add on to that, because I'm really like testing people sometimes, and I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, but I am sorry. They say your kids and children are our greatest teachers. How have they taught you about life and who you actually are as a person, and how have you combined that with your purpose?
Yeah, great question. I think I knew from a pretty young age that my purpose was to help others, to heal others. That's why I was put on the planet.
Yeah.
Why I'm here. And so originally that, I actually wasn't sure what that looked like, even though I knew that's what I wanted to do. The reason I went to massage school was because my mom told me, Rachel, when you were a baby, when you were a toddler, you would just put your hands on me and it was so healing. You always had this healing energy, this healing touch. And really, that's the reason I went. I said, okay, I was 20 years old. I thought, okay, I'm going to go. I wasn't sure what to do. I wasn't sure what I wanted to study. So I went to massage school, and that really served me. And it was so rewarding. I felt, okay, I'm living my purpose. I'm helping others. They walk out of here, they feel so good. They're relaxed. They've forgotten their stress, their worries. They come back the next week. This is great. And that has evolved. And I think now I love to see people achieve their dream, their vision that has shown up in the business world with helping guide them to make their dream and their vision a reality and help give them some structure and strategy to that. But it's more than that. It's also being able to be a reflection for them, believe in them, remind them of their worth and their power and their possibility, their own creativity. And I tie that in with my values, and I've gotten really clear that my values are creativity, freedom. It's really important to me to have freedom in my life and be able to make my own choices throughout my day, family, inspiration, And so these values are things that I love to impart on others as well, to see in themselves. So my children have been an incredible mirror, and they've been incredible teachers because they've shown me both my capacity to love and to love unconditionally and selflessly. And they've shown me my shadow side, where I can be triggered, where I can be, you know, maybe gotten in touch with my own anger. And even when they were really young, I noticed something like they would mimic a tone or words, or they're our greatest mirrors. And I remember when they were really little, looking at them doing that and being like, wow, like it was brought so much awareness. And that level of awareness of one, being mindful of that these little humans are going to take what they see and they learn, and of course develop their own personalities, but they're going to learn a lot from me. So it's really important how I show up. It's really important how I behave. It's really important for me to be mindful and aware and look at my own emotional intelligence at times, or where am I getting triggered and how am I reacting and not responding? What am I reacting to and how am I reacting? So I've learned so much, and it's been humbling, and it's also really calmed me down in ways that I needed to, and it's matured me in ways that I needed to be matured. And every day is a lesson. And I just look at them as they get older, and I'm just awe-inspired by how incredible they are. And it's really beautiful to see the pieces of me that are in them. And it's mostly the good things, fortunately. There's moments though, my daughter will say something in a certain tone and it'll really trigger me. And I have to go back and say, that's me. She got that from me.
Yeah, my bad. That's me. Yeah, I get that. Many of our listeners, they are loved to be aspiring leaders. How would your curiosity show up in your lessons of leadership for yourself? And what's the biggest lesson of leadership you've actually learned within you that's very prominent today in your life?
Yeah, I love leadership. I've learned a lot through my roles as a leader. I got a little visitor back there.
Yep.
I had the opportunity for one of the startups I was at to manage a team of about 20. And within that team of 20, they all worked with 300 to 500 app users at any given time for this particular app. And a lot of what they were doing was helping guide people along a journey. And so they would then come to me. That was wonderful. And I learned that I love to lead as a transformational leader and as a servant leader, and that it was important to me, even managing a team, and they would come to me with questions and technical things, and I had to run weekly meetings and things like that. But even in that space, personal growth and being able to share that with them and put that into their lives as a tool for how they went out into the world and worked with anybody, so important. It's so important. So I always lead with transformation. I want to see transformation. I want to experience that. I want to watch people grow. And if they fall down or they get stuck, I want to give them a hand, but I want to see them figure out how to get unstuck through that process of being loved and supported along the way and guided along the way, because that is so beautiful. What else about leadership?
It's a very diverse and vast subject, which is why I like putting it in there.
It is. I've been in leadership roles also where, again, in a startup corporate environment where it was almost like I was given a role as a leader, but then I wasn't really allowed to lead. And to me, leadership is not hierarchical. It doesn't need to be. It can be. It doesn't have to be that way, although we're conditioned and organizations are conditioned for it to be that way. The best leadership is really leading by allowing, leading by listening, leading by curiosity, right? And and guiding from that place. And there's always going to be a need for guidance and for saying, okay, this is, we've got to put this into action. But I think that there are softer ways to do it than many of us think leadership has to be.
Yes. Yeah. I think that you were very much on the money there with the hierarchy and the concept of a lot of some, not all, you're going to get shot for saying this, some corporate companies still are employing this hierarchy leadership genre. And in this day and age, because of the environment we all work in and the flexibility of all that, the diversity, it doesn't work. And what I found in serving Fortune 500, Fortune 5,000 companies, Fortune 100 companies, they go in, they haven't got the first clue about what leadership actually is, and placing the people who are the right roles in that position. And it's sad to see the incompetence of some, not all, of these companies because they're not taking the employees first. And one of the challenges that I love going into is stripping down the company and going, this is really what's going on. Do you find when you are in startups and other aspects of, you know, growing, fast-paced, growing industries, that they haven't got a clue, they've got a macro vision, but they don't know how to implement the micro.
Yeah, I think what I've seen in the startup space is that there's that intention is sometimes there in the beginning, and it does feel like a community, and it feels like everyone's voice can be heard, and there isn't that. But as they grow and sometimes don't know how to really scale up the culture and the management style and the leadership with the growth and the demand, and then you add in more stress that comes in with scaling, even though it's exciting and it means more money for the company or raises or whatnot, it puts so much pressure on having to shift things fast. And what happens when you have to shift things fast when it comes to a culture or policies or quality control or any of that, is that the humanity gets lost in it and it becomes all operational, and it starts to feel really yucky for the people who are empaths or just really want to be valued and seen and heard. And all of a sudden we're going to do it this way because we have to, because the company's growing so fast. Mm-hmm. So the time isn't taken to keep that humanistic approach. And I've seen that happen multiple times in startups where it's not that necessarily to blame the leadership team or management for it happening that way. I think if they had a you or a me or somebody able to really come in and have that 360 degree view and guide them in, this is how we really continue to lead in a transformational servant way where it feels really good to everybody. And it doesn't feel like there's suddenly this hierarchy where leadership is up here and everyone else is down here, where it felt like this to start with, but that gap gets bigger and bigger. And I see that as a huge problem.
I love
it. Doesn't have to be.
No, it doesn't. And that's the whole point of these podcasts, these conversations, is because your message and your point of view matters not just to me, but to so many other people and organizations. And where you learn this knowledge and how you implement it, that also is unique to you, and which makes you strong and also powerful as a leader and an individual in your life and also in your company. And when you start to take ownership of that, game changer, not just in your company and your business, but in your life, because it shows up everywhere that you go and you exude this energy of this is me and this is what I do. And this is the standard and the values and how everything else goes in with it. Going back to the foundations of it. In a fast-paced industry, in a fast-paced world, we pick up information, whether it be books, podcasts. Is there anything that stands out to you that you've learned, whether it be on a podcast, whether it be on it through books or other cultures, that you've absorbed the information that you have? Not necessarily the business information, although because you did an MBA, I believe. Is it an MBA you've got? Yeah. But where did this information, other than natural stuff, come from? Can you recommend any books or podcasts for the audience to literally go, not saying this one, don't have to recommend this one, but you can go to get informational stuff for their industry. So if someone is a marketer or aspiring marketer, what podcast could you recommend to them? There's the obvious ones out there, but is there anything that really resonates with you?
Yeah. I love the book Atomic Habits. Mm-hmm. For someone like me who tends to be creative and I like structures and systems. I need them because I can very easily float off into the creative world and ideas and vision and strategy, which I love. Atomic Habits is great because it's a short read or listen. It's very straightforward. And there's some really great tips in there, like habit bundling, right? Putting your shoes by the door so you go work out. Or there's certain things that are really relatively simple that we can do that can actually impact and change the whole productivity of our day and our life force and our energy. So I love that. I recently listened to a book called Do Less by, I think it's Kate Northrup.
Yes.
And really, this is speaking to women, and hopefully you have a lot of women listeners, but this is also great for the men who support women and who love women. We actually, if we pay attention to our cycles, we can utilize energy at different times. And there are times where we as women, and men have this too in different ways, and maybe it is affected by the moon or testosterone, but I'm just going to speak on the women's side of things. But learning to recognize where we're at and being aware of where we're at in our cycle and how we show up in the world. And there's times where we should be in our cave a little bit more and more introspective. And then there's times where we have all of this energy and we should come out and be creative and be more in the world. And so I think it's valuable for us as women to explore that and look at that and just see where that matches with our own patterns and where are we finding resistance? And is there a way to not have so much resistance during a few days in the month that's going to bring more peace and harmony, but also help us cultivate when we come out of that? It's like a contraction and an expansion physically, symbolically, because we all need that. Men will go into their cave and not talk about things and come out, and then they have the answers, right? Like the cavemen did. If you read Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. I think women need to be aware of that as well. And so it's just something I've started to explore and look at and pay attention to and see the relational patterns. I love that. I'm just looking at recently listened to The Big Leap. So really getting into figuring out what's my zone of genius. And I think it's very important for us to think about, what are we good at? What do we love doing? How do we thrive? Even the concepts like ikigai, the Japanese concept of what you do for money should be related to your passion and your purpose. And it's all very similar themes, but I think we sometimes absorb a lot of information and then we don't know how to go out and implement it. And I see this, of course, in businesses all the time. I see people like buying programs and absorbing and listening and all of these things, and then they're not actually doing. So it's something that will motivate you to take inspired action each day, take an action, whatever system works for you. And I've tried a lot of systems. I've tried time blocking. I've tried different apps and tools, but I think we each need to figure out what works for us, but creating a system that works for us to set our goals, our habits, and then be consistent in doing them. I probably could go on and on. I don't listen to any specific podcast consistently. I have tried, and I am somebody who, if I'm listening to something, it takes away my focus, and I'm always so focused on the work I'm doing. So I have to release. That's again something I need to set time aside for. But I will listen to audiobooks.
One of the things you mentioned there is allowing the time to implement what you've learned. One of my friends, and his name is Peter Swain. He is a very good marketeer and has a bank and many other things in life, but he's a fellow Englishman, and he runs a very powerful company. And he always says on his masterminds, listen, but always set aside time, and I don't mean 5 minutes, proper allocated time to implement and have an understanding of what we're teaching. always. So I love that point, and it's very poignant to anybody's success. So thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah. I recently heard, instead of multitasking, and there's all kinds of books on focusing on one thing and focus. Yeah. Brian Tracy's books are great. But the new term is monotasking. And I love that because, and actually what I started to do is I used to have meetings. I would be in meetings back to back, right? All these meetings. The problem with that is I wasn't getting anything done. I was connecting, I was having meetings, but then when do you actually do anything? So I've decided now to have way less meetings, like way less meetings, which is great. But then also allocate an hour after each meeting I have with a client while the energy's fresh, while we've just talked about things, while I'm feeling really jazzed up about whatever it is we're doing together, to focus, whether it's go dive right in on a project or take some notes or do some action for that client related to that meeting. And that has been a game changer, not going from meeting to meeting and putting intentional time and focus for what I just was working on for a period of time.
A game changer. No, I love you. I love you bring that up. Failure is often viewed as a detriment to someone's progress, but also failure can be a valuable lesson for us. Can you share a time where you've had a perceived failure, but has actually turned out to excel your growth in a positive way?
Yeah, going back to my personal story, I could look at this idea of being a single mother and some of the comments I've received throughout the years. Oh, that must be so hard. Or people, what will they want to ask? And sometimes they do and sometimes they don't, but they just look at you a certain way, like, why are you single? Where's the dad? Lots of questions like that. And I could have looked at that as a failure. Oh, this relationship didn't work out, or I didn't give my children a whole family like we think we're supposed to have. And I could have looked at it that way. But really, I don't think I would be where I am right now if I had been in a different relational situation with their father, or maybe with anybody, because it really propelled me to keep going ahead and working harder and going after my dreams. And it wasn't just for myself. It was for now these two humans that I brought into the world and that I was solely responsible for. And had I had somebody taking care of me financially or in other ways, I might not have had the drive and motivation. Now, that's just what has worked for me. And I've seen it be really a powerful force in me going after what I want and getting it and not letting anything really stop me or hold me back. Or, you know, even if I've hit some imposter syndrome along the way, I've been able to work through that. I didn't need to lean on. And for me, it could be anybody in our life. It could be our mom. It could be a brother, a sister, anybody. But for me, it was like I didn't need to lean on a man to support me or to tell me that I or give me permission to move ahead in my life. And for me, in my personal journey, that's been really powerful because I have been in situations where I think I was looking for a man's approval or felt like my role that I was supposed to be boxed into a certain role of maybe taking care of a man and his path and his job and putting myself on the back burner. So for me, that's been really powerful. And so I don't look at that as a failure. And I've certainly had things that I've started and stopped that I could say, oh, that was a failure because I didn't finish it. I started something, I had this idea, or I started this job or things like that. But when I look back at my history, everything that I've done has brought me to where I am right now. Everything. And if I had missed one of those things, one of those pieces along the way, I wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be so dedicated to personal development for myself and for other people and this greater purpose of transformation. I wouldn't be so passionate about what I do. I wouldn't be as confident. And I certainly wouldn't be where I am financially and in the sort of my own success measurement that just keeps getting better. There's always more. And we all can define success differently. For me, it's not necessarily money. It's comfort. It's freedom. It's those values. It's making sure my life is creative and I'm inspired and inspiring. So yeah, some may say, oh, I've had failures, but I don't actually think I've had any failures. I think they've all been steps.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Now, this podcast is all about serving you. And this is why it was made. And this is why I love doing this. It's a pleasure and an honor doing this with everybody, including you. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Where do you see yourself? What's that next level for you personally?
Yeah, the next level is really continuing to find ways. And for me right now, it's through technology. It's through coaching. It's through connecting, but ways to scale even more in this transformational space. I think that there's a call to action on a universal level since the pandemic and with everything going on in the world for more people to come forward who are, I call them light workers, people in the sort of mind, body, spirit. More people are coming forward and coming out in a way to help others. And I want to see that grow, the pulse of giving and love and connection to grow. And it's much more about collaborating, and it's much more about community, and it's much less about every man for himself or whatnot. I see that just growing, and I want to make sure that I'm part of fostering that sort of revolution of growth and connection and collaboration. And this means, even if I'm a business coach and I'm a woman, I want to empower other women business coaches to be their best, to do their best, to share their truth, their authenticity, their passion. So it's really just continuing to bring that. And then these tools, these things that I've learned when it comes to burning out and being in the corporate environment, if I can make a difference and help stop that for others, whether that's at an organizational leadership level or in the wellness world or on a one-on-one level or through the coaches that I work with, preventing burnout and really helping impart this true, authentic idea of taking care of ourselves, filling our cup in order to help and serve others. So that's on the purpose side. Dream-wise, it's lots more world travel. It's taking my children to see the world, experience different cultures the way that I have, for them to be able to walk down the street in Bali and look in the eyes of these beautiful, wonderful people and learn about these cultures and traditions around the world, that go see art, the art that's inspired me. And then just not to have to worry about money. I don't think not have that not be something that we have to worry about. And how can I help others to not have to live in that place of scarcity? How can we live in more abundance? How can we live abundantly through giving and sharing our gifts? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the direction, the path I'm on and the path I'm going to stay on.
Sounds good to me. But to the people who have just listened to this and still engaged and locked in, because I hope you've been taking notes, where can they find you? How can they get in contact with you if they so desire?
Yeah. So I am on all the social sites, theabundancestrategies.com, The Abundance Strategies. My name, Rachel Kalb, K-A-L-B. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. Right now I'm on Instagram as Abundance Digital, because I do run a full digital marketing agency as well, and done for you social media and a lot of other things that I didn't even mention here, but a lot of business services. So yeah, can pretty much be found on any of those places. I have fun and do some TikToks. I think, what is my name on there? I think that's also under Abundance Digitals. Yeah.
Rachel, thank you very much for sharing your journey and your knowledge here today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Baz, for having me. This has been wonderful, and I've enjoyed our conversation and sharing, and appreciate the opportunity to connect with your audience.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us today. Please share the message. Please support the channel in just sharing it. It's all about you. It's all about collaboration, as Rachel said earlier. For myself, until the next time I meet my friends, live with purpose and inspire with legacy. Have a blessed day.